We all know it's important to get the recommended 8 hours of sleep to maintain our health and well-being. We're also familiar with how difficult it can be. If sleep problems affect the general population, how much more do those same problems affect our military servicemen and women? Today, Mac McKee speaks with Wendy Troxell and Regina Shi of the RAND Corporation. They recently published a study that finds sleeping problems are prevalent among service members.
When did the RAND Corporation conduct this sleep study, and how many participants took part in it?
The RAND Sleep Study has been a two-year project, which we're just completing, funded by the Defense Centers for Excellence in Psychological Health and Traumatic Brain Injury. And the study involved multi-methods, including a survey of approximately 2,000 service members across all service branches and components.
Did you have any preconceived notions as you began the study, or were your findings confirmed, or were they different when the study was completed?
I think we did have some preconceived notions. We were expecting that sleep was going to be related to deployment status and combat exposure, and we found that actually sleep duration and quality and daytime appearance were actually not related to deployment. They were related to combat exposure.
Now, what is the overall percentage of military members that get the recommended 8 hours of sleep a night? Is it a high percentage or lower than what you might think?
Actually, it was alarmingly low. Only about a third of service members reported that they received at least the minimum end of recommended sleep per night, which is about 7 hours. And the vast majority were far under that, with about another third who reported sleeping 5 hours or less per night. And what's important about that number is that other laboratory studies have shown that healthy human subjects who are restricted to less than 5 hours of sleep per night, after only 4 to 5 nights of such sleep restriction, they will show impairments in their cognitive functioning and their performance as if they were performing while legally drunk.
That can be quite alarming. How did our military members compensate for this lack of sleep? What did they do in place of it?
Our survey also assessed a number of health behaviors that service members may be engaging in to compensate for sleep loss and sleep disturbance. We don't know a whole lot in this area, but what the results of our survey showed, and this survey was among married service members, the results showed slightly less than 20% of service members were using sleep medications in the past month, that is, to help them sleep. And perhaps as a way to compensate for sleep loss, about 3% were reported that they used prescribed stimulant medications in the past month, and slightly less than 10% reported that they used highly caffeinated energy drink on a daily basis. Now, this number for energy drink consumption is actually lower than a previous study that had involved younger deployed service members, in which about 50% of younger and deployed service members reported using energy drinks on a daily basis.
Regina, if deployment patterns didn't play as big a role as you might have thought there would have been, is there another key issue that could be singled out as a root problem for these uneven sleep patterns?
That's right. Our study suggested that sleep problems may be endemic to military culture and perhaps not solely due to the result of being deployed. I don't think that there is a single root problem. We identified in our review of policies and programs several barriers to implementing these policies and programs, and they really fall within four big buckets. The first is cultural barriers. Service members often attested to the fact that achieving little sleep can be seen as a badge of honor, and prioritizing sleep was seen as a sign of weakness. So there's stigma associated with seeking out treatment for sleep disturbances. Another bucket was operational barriers. Obviously, mission first is the creed of any service member, and often mission needs and operational and training requirements take priority over sleep. A third bucket is knowledge barriers. Service members and line leaders often lack the knowledge they need to engage in healthy sleep behaviors, including the risks of chronic stimulant use and sleep medication use that Wendy mentioned. There's also very few centralized resources at the DoD level on sleep policies. So it's very unclear, even though that sleep policies exist, what the exact policy is on achieving sufficient sleep. And lastly, there are medical and treatment system barriers. sometimes service members can perceive that there may be negative career-related consequences in seeking help.
Now, Wendy, has there been any other increased health problems among military members that your study has uncovered due to these this lack of a sleep issue?
Our survey is consistent with several other prior reports, which show that sleep problems are related to a number of increased risk for a number of adverse mental and physical health outcomes, including increased risk for depression, post-traumatic stress disorder, even suicide, as well as physical health problems.
Now, Regina, how has the Defense Department responded to the results of your study?
Well, our study was sponsored by the Defense Centers of Excellence on Psychological Health and Traumatic Brain Injury, and they're very encouraged by our findings. They're not only concerned about the attention that we've highlighted on the prevalence of poor sleep duration, but also poor sleep quality and daytime impairment. We've also been reaching out to other members across the DoD to brief them on our project, and I think the realization has always been that sleep is secondary to many other more important, more perceived to be important factors in the military, but that sleep really does need to be elevated. One of our recommendations to the DoD was to change the terminology so that there isn't so much stigma around sleep and achieving sufficient sleep and achieving good quality sleep, so that sleep is really considered a sixth vital sign, much like blood pressure or pulse rate. And so it's not just secondary to the mission, but actually imperative to the mission.
Well, I'd like to thank our guests today, Wendy Troxell and Regina Shee of the RAND Corporation, for tackling a very serious problem about the lack of sleep among our military members. Thank you very much for joining us today on the Down East Journal.
Thank you.
Thank you.